الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in his kalam in Surah Al-Baqarah in the middle of the ayat relating to Ramadan Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said when my slave asks about me I am near him وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب when my slave asks about me I am near him Ujibu da'wat al-da'i da da'an and when he asks me, I answer him. When he makes dua, I accept his dua and I answer him. Fal yastajibu li wal yu'minu bi. So tell him to obey me and to have iman on me and have faith on me. La'allahum yarshudun so that he may be rightly guided. Dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said ad-du'a mukhul ibadah he said du'a is the brain of the ibadah it is the essence of worship in another place Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said inna ad-du'a huwa ibadah he said verily du'a is ibadah du'a is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu Dua is to communicate with Allah, it is to talk with Allah, it is to ask Allah, it is to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu with the complete and total knowledge and complete and total understanding and yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu has the power to give, Allah promised to give and He will give insha'Allah. So this is the issue of dua. And as I said, dua, Allah promised to accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to ask. In another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically said, He told us, Ud'uni astajib lakum. He said, ask me and I will give you. But it comes with conditions. And the two conditions are, obey Allah and have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. يَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَالْيُمِنُوا بِي Obey me and have faith in me. So I remind myself and you to learn to make dua and to learn to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever we need because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give. Ask only Allah because only Allah likes those who ask. With us, with human beings, no matter how generous a person is, if you go to a person to ask more than a few times, then they get irritated. No matter how generous they might be, after a while they get irritated. What this man keeps on coming all the time, he keeps on asking all the time. But not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes those who ask. Asking dua is the essence of ubudiyat. It is the essence of being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the job of the slave to ask. It is the job of the slave to ask. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to ask Him without partners, without associating anybody with Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu told His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when this person comes to ask, do not send him away. La tanhar, do not send him away. Give him. Don't send away somebody who comes to ask you. Now this is the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not send him away. Wa amma sa'ila fala tanhar. When the sa'il comes to ask, do not send him away. Do not reject him. So imagine what the one who is giving the advice, what must be his attitude. He's advising his Nabi, saying, don't reject him. So what do you think Allah will do? So we must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask Allah with this complete certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give and only Allah can give. And make sure that we fulfill the conditions of asking, which is obedience and iman. The first dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that anyone asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the first dua that anyone asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is the dua of Adam alayhi salam. And that is the dua of Tawbah. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. This is the first dua. This is the first dua that was ever asked by any human being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the dua of Adam alayhi salam, and that dua is the dua of Tawbah. So it tells us that dua is the key to Jannah. And the essence of dua is to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this dua also illustrates the issue of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first dua is tawbah because it comes out of disobedience. There was a disobedience, so you become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making tawbah, by returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istighfar is to ask for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say tawbah wal istighfar. So we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So the first dua is this, the dua of tawbah wal istighfar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy and we make tawbah. So this is the issue and the criticality of dua. All the anbiya made dua. All the anbiya made dua. And the peculiarity of the dua of the anbiya is that the dua of the anbiya was always for the people. Was for the hidayat of people. Right? Even if you take Nuh alayhi salam, his last dua is for the destruction of the people who were rebellious. But before that, so many duas for the hidayat of the people. So all the anbiya, this is the way of the anbiya, that they make dua for the hidayat and for the guidance of people. So that is one of the major sunnah of the anbiya, that they make dua for the guidance of people, that people should be guided towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all the anbiya have one dua which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never rejects. He does not reject that dua. If the Nabi asks this dua, Allah will always give him. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I have kept that dua with myself, and on the day of judgment I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the maghfirat of my ummah. So this is the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam whose mercy and whose love for his ummah is such that his dua, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not fail to grant him inshallah, he keeps with him on the day of judgment to for us to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how to make dua? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Maryam and elsewhere the story of Zakariya alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how Zakariya alayhi salam asked dua. So the first thing he said about it, he said, Nida an khafiyah. He said, Zakariya alayhi salam asked the dua in a small voice. So when we ask dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first condition is that we humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility. A man was making dua in the masjid and he was doing it loudly. He said, Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, Ya Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your Rabb is not deaf. There is no need to shout. Many people, this Amin bil Jahar, Alhamdulillah, it is a sunnah, nothing wrong in saying Amin. But many times you find people say, Amin! Allah is not deaf, there is no need to yell. Say it with dignity. They say, Ameen. More than enough. There is no need to shout Ameen. So, these are all things where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like extremes in things. So, do the thing, but don't do it in a way which there is no dignity in that. So, nidaan khafiyah, small voice with humility, And then Zakaria alayhi salam begins his dua by mentioning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his own weaknesses. He said, Ya Allah, I am an old man. My hair has become white. My bones have become weak. He says, my wife is beyond the age of childbirth. So he's mentioning all his weaknesses. And then he says, Oh Allah, give me a waris. Give me somebody to inherit this work of da'wah. Because what is the virasat of the anbiya? What is the inheritance of the anbiya? It is knowledge. It is not, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the anbiya do not leave behind dirham and dinar. They do not leave behind money and property. They leave behind knowledge. And he said, the ulama are the warasatul anbiya. The ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya. Now, by ulama is not meant the graduate of this or that university. By ulama is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also specified who is an alim. And Allah said, innama yakhshallaha min ibadihi al-ulama. Allah said, the people who have the greatest khashyat of Allah, the people who have the greatest fear of offending Allah, the people who have the greatest fear of the anger of Allah, these are the ulama. So it's not how many books you read. It is the condition of your heart. An alim is not somebody who comes out with a degree. Allah is not looking for degrees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the condition of the heart. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the alim is the one with the heart which is the most submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the criterion of the alim. So therefore, we need to look at our hearts, do tazkiyatun nafs, and make sure that the heart is submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very important for us to keep this in mind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ulama are the people who inherit because they are the people who take the knowledge from the anbiya and take it forward. So Zakaria alayhi salam is making dua for a warith, is making dua for somebody to take forward his message. Yeah. Coffee, yeah? So he's making his dua and he's saying, Oh Allah, my wife is beyond the age of childbearing. I have all these weaknesses. I'm an old man and so on, but give me a waris. Now, what do we understand from this? We understand two things. One is acceptance and owning of your own incapability and weakness. Humbling yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't even call it humbling because it's not, that is your reality. It's not as if you are saying, you know, I'm actually so big, but I know. It's that is the reality. We are weak. We have all kinds of problems and so on and so forth. But at the same time, not bringing that into consideration when asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is free from all these things. Allah is free from all blemishes. Allah is free from all constraints. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all weaknesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sets the limits. There are no limits on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Zakaria alayhi salam is asking this dua, he is asking within quotes for the impossible. Why is he asking for the impossible? Because for the one who created us, nothing is impossible. Possible and impossible is only for us. So the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing us and showing us this issue of dua is also to help us understand that when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. For Allah, there are no limits. So when you ask Allah keeping the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your view. Where your and my mind stops completely. You know, when your brain is fried. You say, no, this is impossible. That is where the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts. And how do we understand this? By reflecting on the glory and majesty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why to bring power in your dua, it is important. Zikr is, why is zikr important? Because zikr is important because zikr helps us to look at the power and glory of Allah. And that is what puts power into the dua. Because if you are asking somebody about whose greatness you are in doubt, then you will not ask with any certainty. Because they always in the heart, hai ki nahi ki, dete ki nahi. But if you know, hey, to sawal hi nahi hai, he has and he said he will give. So where is the question of not giving? So that is why it is very important to reflect on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And then to ask Allah in keeping with that glory and majesty, not in keeping with the constraints that you and I are aware of. Very often we see this when we are making dua with regard to, for example, illnesses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from illnesses, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure those who have illnesses. But we see this with regard to people who have illnesses, especially so-called incurable illnesses, something serious. And they make dua, but there is no real feeling in this dua. Because as they are making dua, they are saying, yeah, you know, I'm making dua, but the doctor said there is nothing. But we did the scans, and they are saying, well, this is how it is. And similarly, in some other cases, where we feel helpless, then we say, well, you know, the only thing I can do is dua. Ab dua hi chahiye aur kya hai? So the way we speak about dua is as if it is a useless thing, it is weak, it is really nothing worthwhile. All the worthwhile stuff is over. Now we have this useless thing. You just do this also. Now this is a sign of ignorance, of jahalat, of not understanding the glory and majesty of Allah. Thing is that when you are making dua, Rasulullah said the dua is the greatest weapon of the mu'min. So dua, when you ask dua, you must ask dua with this yaqeen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is not the least, but you see, we live in such a materialistic environment that we associate everything with material. Everything, whatever it is, we think it is material. You know, money makes the world go round. So whatever you have, any need whatsoever, the first thought is the material. And so when you find that now your material doesn't work, your medicine is not working, your money is not working, you can't buy more, you know, even if you have the money, you still can't buy the treatment, and so on and so forth, then you give up hope. But that is the reason why we have Islam. The reason why we have Islam is so that we focus on the actual reality. And what is the reality? The reality is that this material is worthless. That is the reality. The reality is that the material has no value. The material does only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees for that material. The material by itself cannot do anything. This is the whole mujahida, the whole struggle is to come to this realization that la nafi wa la dharra illallah. There is no benefit and there is no harm except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The essence of idol worship and the thing that differentiates idol worship from Islam is this. The person worshipping the idol is also worshipping something. He's not worshipping himself. But he thinks that this idol or that idea or this thing, whatever he's worshipping, is the one which can harm him or help him. Whereas Islam says that cannot do anything to you. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That thing cannot help you. It can neither help you nor can it harm you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Taha mentioned the story of Musa alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him and gave him nubuwat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the tarbiyah of his Nabi by emphasizing this particular point, that there is no one who harms and no one who benefits except Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, he drew his attention to what Musa alayhi salam was holding, which was his staff. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your right hand, Ya Musa? Now Allah knows what is in his right hand. Allah can see it. Why is he asking him? He's asking him to draw his own attention to it. What is in your right hand? What is in front of you? I have this phone. The phone is here. I know it is here. But if you ask me, what is in front of you? Suddenly, oh yeah, I have the phone. So Allah is drawing his attention to this staff. And then Musa alayhi salam says, this thing is beneficial for me. I rest on it, I need it, I use it to beat down the leaves of trees for my sheep and so on and so forth. So I have this staff which is beneficial for me. Now Musa alayhi salam is not worshipping that staff. But for everything, it's not only a question of worship, it's a question of associating benefit or harm with anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is showing us this is not in the material. It is in the creator of the material. So Musa alayhi salam, what is in your hand? This is my hand. This is beneficial for me. Then Allah says, throw it on the ground. When Musa alayhi salam throws it on the ground, it turns into a snake. So now Musa alayhi salam is afraid. Allah says, no, pick it up. La takhaf, don't be afraid. Pick it up and it will go back to its original form. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching Musa alayhi salam? This thing you thought which is beneficial, now suddenly became harmful. Now you are afraid of it. Now go pick it up. Don't be afraid. So when you thought it is beneficial, it actually becomes harmful. When you think it is harmful, Allah said it can't harm you. Because Allah has not decreed that it should harm you. Neither beneficial nor harmful. Illa masha Allah. Without the mansha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without the permission of Allah, it can neither harm you nor can it benefit you. Now when Musa alayhi salam learned this lesson, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, now throw away the staff, you don't need it anymore? No. Take it with you. You're going to Firaun, take the staff with you. So what is the third lesson we are learning? First lesson is, nothing benefits other than Allah. Second lesson, nothing harms other than Allah. Third lesson is, take the means. Tarke dunya ka naam, tawakkul ka naam tarke dunya nahi hai. Tawakkul ka naam tarke azbab nahi hai. Tawakkul ke maane azbab par se bharosa nikalna hai. Azbab ko chhodna nahi hai. This is the big confusion in the mind of people for no reason. Tawakkul does not mean leaving the azbab. Tawakkul means understanding what is the azbab. Tawakkul means removing the reliance in your mind and your heart from the azbab. Not leaving the azbab. Allah did not send us into this dunya to say, reject the dunya. If you have to reject the dunya, why are we here? To do what? So it doesn't say, oh, you are a doctor, throw away the medicine. No. You learn something that is beneficial. You learned it for the benefit of the knowledge. But when you are treating patients, don't think it is the medicine doing it. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. If the medicine could do it, doctors would never die. Because you would treat yourself. You would have eternal life. Doctors would never get sick because you have the medicines. But doctors get sick. Doctors also die. And the patients of doctors, despite all the treatment, also die. So these are the lessons for us to understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, tawakkul is not leaving the asbab. Tawakkul is to understand the nature of the asbab. That the asbab, the means are means. In themselves, they have no power. So Allah is teaching this. And that is what dua is. Dua is to do what you have to do, but to understand that the result comes from the hukum and amr of Allah, not from the action that you and I have taken. So in dua, we must ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made dua unconditional. There is no time for dua. There is no specific state for dua. It is not that you have to make wudu and be in a state of tahara or nothing. You can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any situation. You can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting or lying down. You can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walking, running, whatever. And this makes sense because when does a person ask Allah? When he really needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when do you need Allah? When you are in trouble. So if you are in trouble at that time, you say, go make ghusl, go make wudu. Where is wudu? I am stuck. So dua is anytime. Dua is in any language. All languages are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the languages, they are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dua can be made in any language whatsoever. The du'as of Rasulullah, which are in Arabic, obviously, the du'a of the Anbiya have precedence and greater status. And by all means, learn all those du'as and make those du'as. But you are not restricted to that. You can make du'a in any language. So ask Allah in your own language, whatever the language. So no qaid and no constraint of time and place, no constraint of condition and state, no condition of language. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want, wherever you want, however you want. Build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way which you like to ask, with humility and keeping your view on the greatness and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So this is the essence of dua, of how to ask Allah, and then of course the issue of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection and forgiveness, as I said, that is the first dua, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection and forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make lots of duas. So one day a sahabi came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, we see you making so many duas. And we try to learn them and remember them, but we can't remember all the duas, but we don't want to lose the benefit of this, so what shall we do? So Rasulullah ﷺ taught him and taught us a beautiful dua where he said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri masta'adha minhu nabiyuka Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-bala wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi alladhi radhi. He said, oh Allah, I ask you for all the good that your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask. And I ask you protection from all the evil that your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask protection. And you are the one who helps and you are the one who is great. So this is a jame dua, it's a complete dua. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you make this dua, then Allah will give you the benefit of all my duas. So learn this dua and always make this dua, constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again. Finally, even though dua can be made at any time, any place, there are certain times and places of the special acceptance of dua. And the most primary and the best of that is in tahajjud. Tahajjud is specifically for dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends onto the first heaven in a manner that is in keeping with His majesty and grace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually announces. An announcer announces on the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, who is there who needs something, let him ask. Who is there who needs protection, let him ask. So one is to ask Allah at any time because Allah gave us general permission, ask. Another one is to specifically ask when Allah said, ask me now, and you ask. So obviously that is a time of greater acceptance. So tahajjud is a time. Now at that time you are fast asleep. Mahrumiyat hai, it's badbakhti hai, mahrumiyat hai, aur kuch nahi. That when the opportunity is there to pray, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are sleeping. What benefit can come to you? I mean, seriously think about this. If you really want something in life, if you have difficulties, if you don't have difficulties, you want some success in life, And at the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ask me, and you are sleeping, then you are a bad joke. I mean, nothing else. Because obviously you are a fool. You don't know, you don't even know what you're saying. You really don't want success. You want to be a failure, so fail. Who cares? Because if you really want success, why are you sleeping? When Allah is saying, here it is, you don't want to take it, what to do? We need to get real, we need to get real. This whole pretension of, piety doesn't help. If you're really serious about success, wake up in tahajjud. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then see how success will come. But we squander opportunities. You're sitting in a dars and you are chit-chatting with your friends. Now, why do you put the teacher in a position where he has to reprimand you? Does it make sense? Don't come. If you're not interested, don't come. You're not doing anybody any favor, believe me. It is much better to have one person who's interested than to have a whole bunch of people and somebody is groaning and somebody is moaning and somebody is chit-chatting and somebody is doing something. Who? For what? It distracts, it'll sit here and then see what happens to you. I have to still keep the train of thought in my mind. I have to still say, after all, I cannot, because of two or three people doing some rubbish, I cannot deprive everybody else. I can get up and walk away. You're not interested? Buzz off. I mean, I don't care. But everybody gets deprived, so I can't do that. So I have to keep the train of thought in my mind. I have to think of all the different things I have to tell you while still dealing with the irritation of somebody doing some nonsense. Really, I mean, get serious with your life. Get serious with your life. Enough is enough. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way and manner that pleases Him, and ask Allah to give. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. So the times of acceptance of dua, tahajjud is the number one. And then the grace and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks dua after any good action. So dua after salah, dua after making wudu, dua during fasting in Ramadan or even other than Ramadan, dua at the time of suhoor, dua at the time of iftar, because you have completed the fast, dua is accepted at that time. And of course, dua in Hajj and Umrah and in Tawaf and in Arafat and so on, so on. Dua between the Adhan and Iqama. So after Adhan, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there is two rakat of Nafil between the Adhan and Iqama. So every Salah after the Adhan, there is a little bit of time. In that time, pray two rakat of Nafil, make dhikr, make dua, read Quran. So that is a time of acceptance of dua. So many different times of acceptance of dua. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to ask Him in a way that pleases Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us, with our asking. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us in keeping with His majesty and grace. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as, to grant your du'as, and then to give you more from His generosity as a gift to you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put in your hearts and minds to ask Him things that please Him, and to be pleased with you for asking. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.